Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. You know, since the death of guitar legend Jimi Hendrix in 1970, it would seem we know everything and anything about him. He released only 4 studio albums during his lifetime, but more than 300 bootlegs have surfaced since then, and it seems every year there's a new biography about his crazy, crazy life. Well, now there's another one, called Room Full of Mirrors, and it's apparently more in-depth than most. And by talking firsthand to relatives and other musicians and digging through files and public records, the author, Charles Cross, has come up with a fuller picture of this legendary rock artist. Turns out, by researching Hendrix's Army medical records, Cross discovered a fascinating twist to Jimmy's early history. To discuss it and hopefully shed more light on this bombshell, we have with us in the studio Peter Fitzgerald. He's one of our favorite recurring guests, and I can't think of anyone more appropriate to cast his reflection on this room full of mirrors. Welcome, Peter.
Well, hello there.
I have such mixed feelings over these new revelations about Jimi Hendrix. He was always something of a hero of mine, because he was flamboyant and free and big and black and big and black and big. And he could do things with a guitar that I couldn't do with 10 strap-ons and 15 extra fingers. What a magical performer. And it's such a shame he didn't live past the 60s. What would he be doing now, do you think? The Jimi Hendrix Experience, the musical? Opening for Lenny Kravitz? Touring with the Grateful Dead, with or without Jerry. One can only speculate, preferably with a speculum. But you know, Jimi Hendrix was part African, part European, part Cherokee Indian, and part Mexican, which left him a psychological mess, because the black part of him would beat up the Mexican part, while the European in him would keep trying to squeeze out the Indian. Jimmy was 12 years old when he got his first electric guitar, and he was already serious about music in high school. But then he got expelled for holding a white girl's hand in class. And let me tell you, I would have expelled him too! Why did he have to go for some bosomy estrogen bag when all those hot teenage boys were just aching for a little chocolate in their skim milk? So, what does Jimmy do? What does any poor black kid do in America? He joins the army. And what does the army do? Tries to kill him by pushing him out of airplanes. Now here's the wicky-wacky part. All these years, it was the accepted story that Jimi Hendrix was released from the military because he twisted his ankle in an accident. Seems plausible enough, only now that story is disputed in a new biography by Charles Cross called Room Full of Mirrors. And I've been in a few of those. In the book, Hendrix was excused from further service, and probably spared a one-way trip to Vietnam, not because of his little black ankles. The book says he was examined by a psychiatrist who diagnosed in Jimmy, quote, homosexual tendencies, and the shrink, there's a word I don't like, the psychiatrist recommended him for discharge. There's a word I do like. According to the book, in order to get the heck out of the army, Jimmy told the doctor he had the hots for another boy in the squad. Not only that, he admitted that he was addicted to masturbating. Well, back then, doctors frowned upon such things. These days, hell, if masturbation is an addiction, I should have a wing at Betty Ford. Wiggle, wiggle! But it worked. Jimmy made it back to the States safe and sound, just with his ankles a little thicker and his palms a little hairier. The irony is that he wasn't a big anti-war nut. He was just a coward. He apparently hated communists and had no feelings one way or the other about Southeast Asia. He just didn't want to die. At least, not then. But what an interesting story this is, if it's true. And Charlie Cross says he has the military records to back all this up. So, how am I, a gay man, supposed to feel about this new wrinkle in the Jimi Hendrix Experience? Sure, it was a brave, funky thing for him to do in that day and age. I mean, back then, it wasn't don't ask, don't tell. It was just don't. I love that he played the army for his own devices, knowing that there were such sick homophobes, they'd never keep in barracks if they knew he was coveting his neighbor's ass. But But at the same time, I do have to express some distaste at his using gayness as a negative stereotype when he isn't one of us. Imagine how blind people would feel if recruits went in for their physicals with dark glasses and white canes. I'm sorry, but don't use my perversion for your diversion. Not without my permission, and a safe word, anyway. Of course, the biggest disappointment for my tribe is that Jimmy was straighter than a guitar neck throughout his career. He wore a lot of bright colors and scarves, but there wasn't a hint of Nancy in Jimmy. Or was there? If you look at his songs, maybe there was some latent homosexuality there, some clues to Jimmy's true nature, his gayness. Think about it. Who hasn't heard that line in Purple Haze and thought, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy?" This guy? Which guy? Must be the same guy who makes him sing, "You got me blowing my mind." Uh-huh. I guess your mind must be behind the zipper of David Bowie's bell bottoms. He's acting funny, and you don't know why? I'll tell him why. He's got a Woody for Noel Redding, that's why. I mean, you saw the way he humped that guitar in Monterey Pop. He just ran his tongue up and down the neck, for Christ's sakes. Why didn't he just hang a big sign over his ass reading, "Insert drumstick here"? Look at some other songs on that album, 51st Anniversary, all about why heterosexual couples shouldn't marry. Love or Confusion. Sounds like confusion to me, Jimmy James. May this be love? Well, may it. And what about that hot little lyric in "Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire"? Oh, move over, Rover, and let Jimmy take over. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, we do, Jimmy. And we know what position Rover's in, too. As a matter of fact, I even have a special bootleg tape of that recording session. And the original version of Fire, the one that didn't make it to the album, there's a slight lyric shift, and I think it's very telling about Mr. Hendrix's preferences. Listen carefully. My goodness. Maybe he should have changed his name to Jimmy Hendix, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, and let me tell you something. I've seen Joe, and that's not a gun in his hand. And this is all just from the first album, Are You Experienced? Experienced with what, Jimmy? Now, okay, the second album, Axis Bold as Love, is very hetero. He was hiding. He got famous. He couldn't risk being a sissy boy guitar hero. So he writes songs like She's So Fine, Little Miss Lover, Little Wing. Oh, I could just puke. But 2 years later, he was letting his freak flag fly again on the misleadingly titled Electric Ladyland, the very first track, And the Gods Made Love. Not the goddesses, the gods. He's talking Greek gods, Apollo, Dionysus, Brad Pitt. Then there is Little Miss Strange. I think we know what's strange about her, and she's not built like a miss. Burning of the Midnight Lamp, which is a metaphor for polishing the midnight lamp with baby oil, if you know what I'm saying. And how about that long jam? Ooh, there's another word I like. That long instrumental on Electric Ladyland called 1983, A Merman I Shall Turn to Be. A merman? No, a merman! Deep in his little hearty heart of hearts, Jimmy wants to be Ethel Merman. Can you imagine him wailing away on Rose's turn? Everything's coming up groovy. Everything's coming up sunshine and daffodils for me. Brothers and sisters for me. Oh, mama, it's getting hot. Even on Band of Gypsies, he does a song called Machine Gun. Well, what is a machine gun if not a big metal phallus that can shoot over and over and over again, like Jeff Stryker in a men's locker room? But then, poor Jimmy, all too soon, like so many closeted gay men of that era, it was all over. Too many drugs, too much pressure. They say he choked to death on his own vomit, but knowing what we do now, isn't it more likely he choked to death on Jim Neighbors' vomit? Or Jim Neighbors? Wiggle, wiggle! Oh, Jimmy, if you were living now, I would wrap my arms around you and say, it's okay to be gay. You don't have to sublimate your urges by plowing skinny white girls. Let Tom Cruise do that. You don't have to bury your sexuality in long, jazzy guitar solos. You know they bore the crap out of anyone who isn't downing handfuls of Seconal. You don't have to answer to the man, unless the man is dressed in leather and you want him to loosen your harness. Seriously, Jimmy, it's 2005, and today, tomorrow, and to the end of time, you can wave your star-spangled banana at Woodstock, at the White House, and anywhere you want.